Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I had the privilege last night of spending a bit of time with Brad and Beth, and I can tell you guys it was so exciting for me. But, you know, he's an extremely spiritual man, but also having the scientific knowledge that he has to back up what we believe spiritually was so exciting for me, and just to be able to fellowship with them and then talk about the way I counsel and then find out how the brain actually reacts to certain things that we do in our counseling, I could sit with him for days. Amen. So it's an absolute honor and privilege to have you guys here. Thank you so much for coming out and spending this time with us, and we just want to welcome you. Let's give him a big God bless you and a welcome. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for bending down and hugging the short people of the world. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Beth and I are so blessed to be here. And honey, would you please stand up and wave at everybody? And as a favor to me, would you please make her welcome? Thank you. I told Pastor Alex, of all my wives, she's my favorite one. And then... But I'm not a Pentecostal Mormon or anything like that. Just being a little cheeky. I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about intimacy with God. But to kind of get things started, because I'm a nerd. By the way, Sister Naomi, you have the most incredible memory. I mean, I didn't even remember when I typed that bio. And you haven't met. Did you hear her? Give her a big hand for that. That's a gift. That's unbelievable. People ask me, what do you do? I hunt and fish. That's what I tell them. Anyway, a little nerd humor for you. As recently, I was asked by Muslims to speak at a school, and now they want me to do a tour of Muslim schools. And amen. It went really well. And but anyway, I've been working. Now, look, as I mentioned this morning in first service, I'm full-on Protestant Pentecostal, but I'm an evangelist, really, and that's why I go to all these places. But God is stirring within the Catholic Church as well, and I'm with the Catholics a lot. So this is a nod to our Catholic friends. It's the confession. Well, I know that it was mentioned that we're all over the world, because we are, and our research takes Beth and me all these places. But we're from Virginia. We're from the Appalachian Blue Ridge. And his sovereignty had me there, and our country is deteriorating. You know that, right? And really, this message this morning is going to be about revival, but we'll get there in just a minute. Now, to test our audio, guys, if you want to, we had a little bit of issues this morning. This is an emergency call that came in hillbilly country, and I show this all over the world. So, obviously, here in America, we dial 911. In Australia, where we spend several months every year, it's 000, and in South Africa, where we spend a lot of time, it's 10111, but this is what happens when an emergency call comes in hillbilly country.
911, what's your emergency?
Y'all come visit. Very entertaining where I'm from. I'm not kidding. I love being home. Well, this is what I do, and I want to show you some pictures of South Africa where I've been fairly recently. This is one of the churches in the... sincerity, I know I've been joking around a little bit, but I'm being very serious. The way I got here was through his pastor, Pastor Harold, or Pastors Harold and Maude, at Little Falls Christian Church there. We just divine appointments as far as I'm concerned. And there's a touch of God on that nation because of prayer with Angus Bakken and various ones. And it's so easy to preach. And then I come back home and I'm fully, I bleed red, white, and blue. I'm an American. But I want to tell you, God has sent Pastor Alex to help transfer some of that here. And I appreciate both of you and love you for it. And I'm being very sincere when I say to you, if you would reserve in your prayer life some extra time for these two. The enemy is going to oppose revival. But greater is he who is in us than he that is in this world. But the warfare, I don't think unless you're in full-time ministry, you fully grasp the darts that get shot at us. But if you would please, please reserve extra time in your fastings and your prayer for these two and their family and their children. Would you do that? Okay. So I'm in schools a lot too. From brain scans, functional magnetic resonating imaging brain scans of studying them. And basically, when I was doing research for the book, what I discovered was the type of stimulation that the screens give us are the exact same type of stimulation as cocaine. So that when you look at MRI brain scans of people who get addicted to stimulating drugs, more specifically coke or cocaine, and you look at the brain scans of people who have crossed over into digital addiction through pornography, video games, social media, etc., you cannot distinguish those brains. Addiction is addiction, and you can be addicted literally to anything, and it happens and occurs in the exact same area of the brain called the nucleus accumbens. In layman's terms, it's the pleasure center, and we do these addictive things because we derive pleasure. And it's also called the reward circuit. Technically, it's surrounded by the reward circuit. And it's called the reward circuit because we are rewarded with pleasure. And we overdose on that pleasure and we become addicted no matter what that's to. It just turns out all of this supersaturation of technology is doing the same thing as the type of addiction that cocaine causes. Now, I know what it sounds like when I say this to you. Any South Africans here? I know that you said you have some, of course. I've been on Carte Blanche twice, and it's like their version of 60 Minutes. So if you go on that show and you hype or exaggerate or tell lies, they will ruin you, and they should. However, if you tell the truth, they will help you. The claims that I will make this morning, and especially tonight, and I hope you'll grab people and come back tonight, are absolutely true. And when I was on Carte Blanche, it turned out that that was the number one show of the year. I'll show a clip of it tonight. God is doing something. God is doing something. He's rescuing his church from digital addiction. So there's a DVD back there, and this is a brand new series on pornography. I was speaking at a secular international conference on world distance learning. And I forget the name of the conference. It was the Global Conference on Online Learning. And what I want to do is relate this back in a few minutes with intimacy with God, but I want to start by a misconception to show you some of the work that's being done and some of the things. The topic that was assigned to me, now this is secular, and of course everything I write and everything I do has a biblical worldview. So in this chapter on ethics, they asked me to write a chapter called The Ethics of Not Contributing to Digital Addiction in an Online Learning Environment. And it was published, and that's why I ended up in Toronto. And I want you to think about what I just said. The ethics of not contributing to digital addiction in an online learning environment. Now, where this comes from is the misconception where people would come up and talk to me after many sessions and say to me, oh, I'm so glad I heard you speak because I only allow my child to interact with education apps and education games. And they'll say things like, and I don't let them have any during the week and only on a Saturday if they've been good during the week and only education. Then there's this pesky little thing called the truth. It always gets in the way, doesn't it? The truth is the brain does not distinguish content. In other words, it's not a moral agent in the background saying, okay, I'll leave you alone because you have to do this for work, your CAD, your accounting software, but you are looking at porn and playing video games, Call of Duty, so I'll get you addicted. The brain is not a moral agent. That's your job. What the brain is doing is responding to stimuli that you give it through your eyes that's connected to your occipital lobe and your temporal lobe. And it's simply squirting dopamine regardless of the content. So what this says is that now that all the universities, a lot of homeschooling groups, but especially universities around the world are moving almost everything online or in the process of doing that, that poses an ethical dilemma of having to help our learners, scholars, students to manage this because you can get addicted to taking online courses that have nothing to do with immorality just as quickly as you can porn. And the reason is brain stimulation. And as the computers have gotten faster, now we are talking about augmented reality goggles, and it would be HoloLens would be the Microsoft version of that, and Oculus and the virtual reality. The brain stimulation is through the roof. And not too many of us are doing enough study to figure out what's going on. But it's money-driven, so they release it to the schools regardless. Am I making sense? But thankfully, there's some people in Geneva who care. And these are not always Christian people. And I speak a lot in Christian circles. I'm one of the national speakers for the Assemblies of God of America in their education wing. It's called ACTS, appropriately named. But it's the Association of Christian Teachers and Schools. And they put me in education conferences all over our country. But there's some hesitancy from some of the vendors regarding me because they're moving things online. They think I hate technology. Couldn't be further from the truth. I'm using technology this morning to present to you. I have a computer science degree, and I didn't renounce it when I started studying neuroscience. So people are a bit baffled.
How can he be a computer scientist and think it's bad?
Well, I don't. I think some of it is. Now, I want to show you a video clip. Beth, they held me over for two extended interviews, seminars, sorry. And while we were out at lunch, I noticed something going on that we all see, and it was going on behind Beth, so I pulled out my phone. I have some really nice phones and with cool cameras. And so I engaged the camera, and I started to videotape these people unbeknownst to them. And so don't ever tell these people if you ever meet them that I've been showing them all over the world. About a third. Their head stayed down the entire hour. They ate their food that way. The waitress, now I'm from the South, and so when I was growing up, when people served us anything, it was thank you, ma'am, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, and I think we need to get back to that, as far as I'm concerned. But these people in Richmond never said thank you, ma'am, appreciate that, nothing. They just kept their heads down and kept eating. What has happened to them, they're probably doing social media, but I don't know what they were doing. I didn't go over and ask, but what I can tell you is that this guy and his mother, his reward circuit has been hijacked. Now, let me give you some of the practical workings of how dopamine works, and I'll show you some brain images in a few minutes, but I'm going to show you what really fuels it to begin with, and I think leads to the deeper things. So I would use multitasking as an illustration. Who can multitask well? Raise your hand if you're a good multitasker. Now, as always happens, the ladies usually raise their hands. And as I often say, it's because, like a mother who has three kids who are rummaging, pillaging, and trying to burn the house down, she can manage that, and the phone, and the laundry, and where's Dad? On the couch. Because if Dad had to do all of that stuff, the children would die, right? Okay. That's not the kind of multitasking I'm talking about. The kind of multitasking I'm talking about is with the earbuds in while you're doing your homework, multiple tabs open, there's a tablet there, there's notifications constantly coming in, and there's a television on. Do you understand now what I'm talking about? Digital multitasking. Now, the truth is, you raised your hands, and I was being a little bit cheeky. I hope you still love me after this, but the truth is, there's not a human being on this planet that can multitask. Every time I do that, I see people going, you'd never say it because you're so nice, but you're thinking to yourself, I am the exception. Problem is, you're not. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how the brain actually works. The brain is a sequential processor. Now, for those of us nerds, if you have a multi-core processor in your computer, if you have 12 cores, 16 cores, or you think, I only have four, I'm left in the desk. Well, you are. You should really pick up the pace a little bit. Now, in a multi-core environment, your computer, if it's threaded properly, can actually make different assignments to those threads and do things simultaneously, but your brain cannot do that. Your brain can only process one thing at a time, so what it actually does is switches. So in my world, we call it switch tasking, not multitasking. So here's how I want to illustrate this to you. I'm going to give you the same poetry test that was given to us at the University of Queensland. I was taking a class there, professional development. The subject matter was bringing neuroscience into the classroom, making all this stuff practical, which you learn. And so what I'm going to do to illustrate how the brain actually works, I am going to ask you to multitask. And I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to ask you to do three, four, or five things, just two. I'm going to put a written poem on the screen, and then simultaneous, I'm going to play a second and different poem audibly, and what I would like for you to do is to pay attention to both, and then I'm going to give you a comprehension test to see just how well your brain receives two streams of data simultaneous. Okay, everybody focused and ready? Here we go.
The moon seems very lovely each night it passes by, so beautiful and shiny upon the velvet sky. And yet the moon is really dead, its light is not its own. Though shiny it may seem, it's really just a stone.
Okay, how many of you tried? Raise your hand. How many of you got 2 seconds into it and went, nope, this ain't happening? How many of you got frustrated and said, forget it, I'll just pick one of them and do the best I can on a stupid test? How many of you did that? Okay. Here's the test. Who can quote just the first two very brief lines of each poem? Sister, you get a certificate of participation so that I don't damage your self-esteem, but you failed.
I saw you online this morning.
Oh, well, you're... You know what I usually do? I love you. Give her a big hand. That was. But you still didn't get it. Now, you better hug me later. Here's what happened. You got frustrated and you said, I'll just pick one. How many of you picked the written one? Okay. Lazy. Now, here's what happened. The reason why nobody's ever gotten the first line of each poem, even when they cheated, is because your brain can only receive one stream of data at the same time. Most of us start off with a written one, and when you're focused on the written one, you cannot receive from the second one. Then, because you are participating in the first 2 seconds, your brain switched. Well, now it can receive nothing from this one. Frustration sets in. So you decide, I'll just focus on one to get the best grade that I possibly can, so you focus on this one. But how many of you, as you were focused on the written one, you started to get annoyed at the one being read audibly because it was distracting you, and you're thinking, shut up. Well, now that distraction is taking big chunks of data away from you. And yet it's in curricula around the world. In order for our learners, our scholars, our students to be successful later, we have to teach them how to multitask well in order to fulfill the jobs that haven't even been created yet. And so the education system, unlike the corporate world, hasn't gotten the memo that this is a problem. Now, the spiritual side of this is that the data that is leaving us, for example, I don't have my phone up here, but pretend with me that this is a phone. You got a phone, and your child comes home, and they're typically very emotional, and they're like, "Mom," and they want to tell you all this stuff, and you know, that's just how they are, and your phone goes off, and so with quick draw and McGraw speed and accuracy, you grab your phone, and you're going, and you probably had people do this to you at lunch, and your child goes, "Would you put that thing down?" They intuitively know that you're not paying attention to them. You're being polite by going, but you can't receive the data. Here's the spiritual application, and ultimately why I do what I do. We're treating God the same way. He becomes one of the drips of dopamine that we hop to. Learning does not happen in spurts. Let me distill a lot of stuff that I'll talk at length about tonight during the seminar. If you want to learn, slow down. If you want to be entertained, speed up. But you can't have both. I was asked a question at the conference in Toronto by a lot of questions from universities. One says, "We're about to employ gamification." You know what that is? That's dipping into the producers of games like Call of Duty to make education games on a big level to cater to the shortened attention spans. She goes, "Well, what do you think about gamification?" And I'm thinking to myself, after hearing me, what do you think I think about gamification? But in a nice academic way, I said, "Well, obviously I have concerns." And was very professional. So I got in the elevator when the conference was over, and I called Beth, and I said, "I've been hanging out with academics. I'm going to go back to my accent, and I'm going to use bad grammar for the next 36 hours. Let's talk about what's happening when we multitask, when we look at screens, when you Netflix binge, when you're doing all these other things online, or hopefully not doing, like pornography, but people do. Statistics recently in Australia, 95% of the 16-year-old boys are addicted. It's probably the same here. In the church, the last statistics that were published, somewhere between 64 and 72% of men in evangelical churches are struggling with porn, and about 52 to 54% of our American pastors. And those stats are old now, about the pastors. I think it's higher, but those are the official ones. So here's what happens. In the center of the brain, approximately the center, where that dot is, not on the surface, but in the middle, in the nucleus, is this area called the pleasure center, or the nucleus accumbens. Whenever we stimulate ourselves, let's say we put alcohol in our mouth, it goes down into the stomach, gets into the bloodstream, migrates to the brain, it stimulates the brain and releases the chemical that you're actually feeling high on. It's not necessary. The alcohol is the fuel for the actual chemical that's making you feel high. Let's say you put something in your vein, and that drug quickly gets into that part of the brain, stimulates it, releases dopamine, and you feel high. When you look at things, your eyes are about here. It's being controlled by the occipital lobe, and there's no bloodstream needed. The effect is instant, but it's the same effect. Dopamine gets released, and it goes into the pleasure center. It stimulates us, and we derive pleasure. That's why we do what we do that feels good. Now, if you'll notice, a little wall is forming. That's called a dopamine barrier, and that dopaminergic effect is causing a chemical reaction whereby that wall builds, trying to push out the excessive amounts of dopamine. And the reason we get addicted is because as that wall grows, it frustrates us because we have to do more of the activity to generate larger quantities of dopamine to continue to get our fix. And that's what addiction is, the constant, repetitive, got to do it longer, harder, more intensely to overcome the resistance that the body builds up to the drug. That's the resistance. It happens in the brain. Am I making sense to you? It just turns out that the very same thing happens with screens, regardless of content, and that's why I do what I do. Now, I want to pause and say something about parenting, and we have 72% of grandparents in America now hoping to literally raise their grandchildren as though they are their own children. I did not come here to beat you up with this science. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I love you. I don't know you that well, but I, because you're my family, I love you. And the only way we're going to be free is by passing through truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, but the truth shall make you. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life. The purpose of letting conviction have its work by passing through truth is to bring conviction, not condemnation. I didn't come here to condemn you. There's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. It's to have conviction so that our eyes are open that Jesus can free us. And we have a problem. If you are truly committed to seeing this country that is sinking rapidly turn around, my slice is a pretty big one. It's the digital addiction factor that we all have if you have a mobile device in your bedroom, living room, pocket. And I think some of you are starting to see that this makes a lot of sense. Now, the symptoms. Let's talk about symptoms. And tonight I'll go at length. By the way, how many of you are sitting here thinking of other people you wish were here to hear this? Raise your hand. I can see this. Okay. Please consider praying some this afternoon and working the phones and inviting people tonight. Because it'll be seminar style. We'll do Q&A, and I'll go more in depth on the science. And I promise to love your friends. I mean that. It's all about God's love. You understand that, right? Even when God brings judgment, it's His heart that people turn around and come back to Him. And God has given me this difficult task of calling people back in this area. And it's going way against the culture. But the problem is the culture has infected the church, and we are to be separate. And so this is a message about revival. That's what this is. So we all have, at some degree, a wall. And the symptoms are simple. If you smoke, you have breathing problems. If you drink, you'll ultimately have liver problems. If you put psychedelic drugs in your veins or up your nose or however you get them, you'll have paranoia. The top symptom of digital addiction is anger. Take a tablet away from a child. Not suddenly, but just say it's time to put it away. And over time, as that wall grows, the anger will grow. The fits and the whinging to get it back grows. Some of you are smiling, perhaps. But brain damage is not funny. Now, I love you. And I'm telling you the truth. Why? For freedom. Not because I'm angry at you. And I know what this is doing. I know this is a jolt because this is going so against the culture. But God has sovereignly placed me as a full-on spirit-filled Christian in the middle of some very important places. And I didn't do it. God is on a digital rescue mission. And I know it. I know this is not a feel-good, happy-clappy sermon. I like those too, but this ain't one of those. So what ends up happening, the wall eventually gets so big, as we push it and we push it, the anger just grows, and eventually you go numb because the brain will eventually cut off all the dopamine, and you need some. Dopamine is not your enemy until you get too much. That is what burnout looks like. If you're an entrepreneur, a businessman, a pastor wearing too many hats, eventually you'll feed off of the adrenaline and the dopamine and all these chemicals. But eventually, to help keep you from going totally psycho, your brain will just cut you off and force you to rest. But this condition called anhedonia, which used to only exist in schizophrenics, people with severe major depressive disorders, and severe drug addicts, is now epidemic in children. Children whose parents use the tablets as babysitters. And I love you. Now, there's good news and there's hope. And we're going to get to that. So please hang in there with me. I want to make it practical. Grandfather saw this and he came to me and he said, would you please come to my community and speak? And I said, yes, sir, I'm happy to do that. And he said, I want to organize a big community meeting. Have you come? I said, well, let's do it. And he said, well, I would like to tell you why I'm asking you to come. And I said, okay. He said, well, I've got three grand boys. And he said, I called up my son and I said, hey, bring the grand boys to me for the weekend. And he's got this big boat, and it's at the mouth of a bay in a river. And he said, his son said, yeah, sure, Dad, happy to do it. So he dropped the three grand boys off, and they came with their phones and their tablets. And Granddad was all excited, and he goes, okay, boys, listen. We're going to leave the phones and the tablets on shore. I've cleaned up the boat. And he said, I've cleaned up the kayak, the fishing gear, the snorkeling gear. We're going to go out into the bay, and we're going to fish. We're going to snorkel. We're going to kayak. We're going to explore the islands. We're going to have a great weekend. And one of the kids started to protest. Granddad, Granddad, Granddad. He goes, yes. And he said, Granddad, what are we going to do for entertainment? And that broke his heart. Because Granddad wanted to be the entertainment. But the children were bored with Granddad because Granddad and his activities generate the proper amount of dopamine, which is this much, but the problem is they came to the boat with a wall in their brain, and if they're not doing an activity that generates enough dopamine to penetrate that barrier, anything beneath that threshold is non-stimulating. Non-stimulation is called boredom. Am I making sense? And so family values are not going to get passed from this very loving and godly granddad to these three grandboys, because the only thing they want to do is disappear under the boat, in the boat, and play video games while granddad does the boring stuff, because that's not entertainment. Now, is any of this being made practical to you now? I want to take it out of the science and make it real. I'm so thankful my Pentecostal grandparents intervened when mom and dad divorced. And I learned more sitting at Grandma and Granddaddy's kitchen table with the Bible open, learning how to follow God, how to pray, and how to seek His face than I ever learned in Bible school, and that's how it should be. I am a reflection of them, and they were never college educated, but they prayed me into one. I have a real heart for grandparents. Let me lighten it up just a little bit, although this is sort of sad. Sometimes Beth will roam around in an auditorium, in a church or schools, wherever. I mean, she videotapes people doing stuff when they don't know it. Now, she's on the front row, so everybody think, where is she? Where is she? She's right here. Don't have a panic on me. So in this church, I had just been called to the podium, and I'm telling everybody we're from Virginia, and already Beth had focused in on this guy. And when I show this at schools, kids will name the game that he's playing instantly. So that's just at the introduction. And then halfway through the sermon, Beth had moved to a different part of the auditorium. There's a whole row of them. And they're going at it the whole time, from beginning to end. And this lady on the end seems a bit annoyed because she's listening to me. And they have no clue. And so this goes on and on and on. And there's a cut in here somewhere. And they give each other the high five. They get excited about something. This guy's fully asleep. Now, trendy church, bring your phones, use your phones, all this sort of stuff. Good church, by the way. I wouldn't preach there. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just showing you the truth of what actually happens. Now, nobody would tell you that because it's rude. But I believe Jesus when he said, I'm the truth. You're going to have to pass through me. This is how this works. So we videotape it. Now, these are nice guys. They are truly nice guys. And if I were to walk up to these guys and say, hey, guys, how'd I do this morning? They go, dude, you were awesome. That's what they would say. Then I would say, if I were to say, can you guys multitask? They go, hello, that's what we do. Course. If I were to say, why did you bring your phone? They would probably say, well, hello, my Bible app is on it. I take notes. But then the crucial question, what did I preach on? Brain or something? You can't multitask. Now, Jesus said in the Psalms, David said, but I believe Jesus is saying it too, because he's the truth. But in the Psalms, it says, God desires that we have truth in the innermost parts. So if they were truthful, this is what they would have said to me. If I were to say to them, boys, how'd I do today? They'd say, truth is, you were boring, so I gained from beginning to end. The truth is, I have no clue what you spoke on because you're boring. And that's what I did the whole time. That's the truth. Because that's what they actually did. And until we face where we are and what we're doing to ourselves and our brains with pinpoint accurate truth as Jesus designed it, we will not be free. But there's freedom when you do. There's healing in his wings. By his stripes we are healed. And that's why I speak the truth. We don't have much time left on this earth. Have you deduced that? We got to get on with this thing. Amen? Amen? Intimacy with God. Parable of the 10 virgins. I'm not going to preach this all the way through. I'm just going to highlight it. Most of you, remember Children's Church, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. I'm sorry to sing. Please don't leave. You know the song? Yes. This is where that comes from. And it's all about this parable where Jesus was saying to these 10 virgins, five of them wise, five unwise, look, it's going to be very dark between now and when I come to get you. And if you want to see your way through the darkness, you best keep oil in your lamp and keep it burning, burning, burning. The metaphor is a constant. Everybody say constant. A constant flow of the Holy Spirit, because that's the oil, flowing. Because if you don't keep a constant flow, your lamp is going to go out and the darkness will consume you. And you will get lost in the darkness. And so they made their way finally as they were waiting for the bridegroom to come and get them. Five of them did what they were told to do essentially. There were some hiccups along the way, but in the big picture, they did what they were told to do. But five were unwise and did not keep the oil. Now, they all started off with the same instruction. They knew the Lord, everything. And when it was all said and done, the bridegroom came to get them to take them to their wedding banquet. There was a problem. The door was open and the wise ones got to go in. Later, the others came and they addressed him correctly. They said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. And Jesus said a very politically incorrect thing. No. And can't you hear modern American Christians? That is so harsh and unloving. You know what the number one complaint about Jesus would be, I believe, if he walked the earth today? He's too unchristlike. I came up with that one myself. From preaching all over America. And I have favor, or I wouldn't be doing it, but I'm just saying. So this is the reason why the unwise ones were not let in. He said, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't have intimacy with you. You haven't been with me. You've been a lot of places and with a lot of other people virtually and not virtually, but I don't have relationship with you. The metaphor is one of marriage. Marriage wouldn't be healthy if you treated it that way either. Brothers and sisters, this is deception, what you're seeing here. It's a false intimacy. Chemically, social media does not do what face-to-face, eye-to-eye koinonia does. Chemically, we know that, without even any Christianity in it at all. Brothers and sisters, this is not amazing. This is damaging. Cognitive abilities in the age of that child will break down in 10 minutes, regardless of the content of that device. This is Microsoft's top mentoring or showcase school in the world. 3,500 students, 2,700 of them have a tablet like I have, which is a Surface Pro. They have a pen. There are no printed textbooks. The library is all online. There's no room you go to with books. And everything that a student does during the school and at home, they do with a pen and it gets screen captured. All their math, English, science, history, everything. When they get to the school the next day after doing their homework that night, As soon as they turn the tablet on and hits the school network, everything that they did the night before gets uploaded to a central server. And then teachers sit down with their pen and their webcam, and they watch and then mark their assignments. That gets screen captured. When it's finished, a dot appears on the screen of the student. Student taps it, and then the teacher pops up on their screen and walks them through everything they've done. And that's Microsoft's attempt at what all educators want to do, and that is have one-to-one attention for every student. Hence the term one-to-one laptop and tablet program. Why am I there? Well, they clearly don't hate me. And I'm not there to help Microsoft do that better. I'm there because of the unintended consequences of all this. ADHD is up 800%. Working with a doctor in Richmond who saw me speak, I started getting a whole lot of book orders from his area. And he called me and he said, he's a pediatrician. He was thanking me for the presentation. He goes, "You've been getting book orders?" "Yes." And he goes, "Good. Because what I've been telling parents, I will not medicate your child until you read this book and do everything in it. And then after you've detoxed your child, you'll bring them back. And then I'll figure out what's organic and what's artificial. And I'll medicate it if they actually need it." Yeah. That's an awesome response. You do love me, I think. Yeah. I love you too. So this made waves in Australia. Australia, I spent a lot of time there and have for 17 years, and I'm credentialed there too. I work with police there, but they log more hours in the classroom than any other country with technology. It used to be South Korea. But apparently every country thinks they can do it better even after it fails in a country and they get bumped down on the list. But this made waves because it's a very well-known private school, the elite of the elite. And the headmaster says, "Computers in class, a scandalous waste." So you're starting to see cracks in their armor as well. Some of the research that's been going on, internet addiction changes brains similar to cocaine. Brain scans show how Facebook and cocaine addictions are the same. That would go for Pinterest. Some of you are like, I said it in the first service. I can see your faces. You're like, "Boy, I was with you until just now." Don't you go to that one. The brain does not distinguish content. One counselor and therapist was just anecdotally trying to quantify. I mean, look, we know all this dopamine gets released. How many hours of video game playing would someone have to play to equal one line of coke in the high that it produces? Now, the effect of coke is instant, but over time, how much would you have to? And it's 2 hours. Number one symptom in this context is anger, frustration, and then the boredom that I described through the granddad in his boat. Am I making sense to you here today? And why am I doing this in a spiritual context? It's because if I were to tell you the truth that I've been doing, the truth, the brutal truth, we are bored with God. Pastors, I had a pastor friend of mine come to me in tears saying, "I feel so much pressure to entertain on Sunday morning, and now it's making me angry. Because we've had to up the volume, had to up all this stuff." And I told him in 2016, we hit a tipping point. It ain't working anymore. It's on overload now. There's one thing left. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yes. One thing. I want to show you a little bit of where we're headed tonight. And I hope, again, how many of you will pray and reach out to some friends tonight and love on them and tell them you're going to take them out for coffee and just swing by here first, right? Okay, yeah. Okay, it's time to get serious. You guys are awesome. Now, this is 60 Minutes from Australia. So this is about that anger issue that I was telling you about.
The bad moods and the tantrums are almost like withdrawal symptoms.
Correct.
Yep. Do you agree with that?
I agree totally, yeah. It is. There is something about it that changes their brain.
And Bianca's right, there is something happening in young addicted brains. In early studies, Chinese researchers compared brain scans of average adolescent internet users to internet addicted adolescents. In red, you can see the affected areas of the addict's brain, areas responsible for decision-making, emotions, and self-control. Screen addiction distorts the same brain function as alcohol, drugs, and gambling.
Denial is the hallmark of addiction. Tonight, I'll go a little bit further in this one, too. These are three brain scans from triplets, and Noah's baseline is different than his brother and sister because Noah is addicted to the world's number one education game. It's called Minecraft. And whenever I say that in an auditorium with kids, I always have to wait. Let me show you, tell you something that's very sad. The kids like me. You saw those pictures in the auditoriums? They don't hate me. They don't like what I say sometimes, but they know I'm not lying to them, and God's given me favor. But I have learned not to talk about Minecraft until the very end. Because I'm not their parent. I'm kind of like their redneck uncle from Virginia, right? So they like me, and they're listening to me. And so they're actually taking it in. Doesn't mean they're going to go home and do what I say, but they're actually listening to me. So the moment I say something negative about what they're addicted to, they have a detox effect, and anxiety sets in, and I can't control them. One audience, I could never get them back. Grade six. It's sad. But Noah, the clip they showed, he plays a lot of video games of different sorts, but the ones they showed in this, he was playing Minecraft. And his brother and sister don't play, and so that's what a healthy analog brain looks like, and that's what a game brain looks like. But despite showing this, gamers go one of two ways with me. They thank me and ask for help, or they hate me. Well, they never said I hate you, but they act like it. And they will say things like this. They'll come up to me, they'll fold their arms, which is very common, a very, very bad way to start a conversation. Just remember the manners here, okay? But they'll go, I disagree. And I'll look at them and I'll go, anything else? Do you have any, I've got this, and what do you have?
I'll go Google it.
That's what they'll say. I'm like, you're just going to run into me. You evil little creature, I love you. Now listen to me. Naomi, that's a theological statement. We're all born with the nature of Adam, which means we're evil. And we need to, I don't care how cute the little package, we need to be redeemed by Jesus. Oh, you guys are awesome. Now, I want to describe repentance because this is what we have to do if we're going to have revival. And my slice is technology. There's a lot of things that need to be repented of. Mine is the technology thing. But I want to describe biblical repentance with you because we all have to do this constantly. I was repenting this morning for stupidity. Men, let me give you some free counseling here, okay? Marital counseling is free. I would like for you to repeat after me, please. I am wrong. You ready? Okay. Come on now. Ready? Men, I am wrong. Now, just keep saying that over and over, and your marriage will get a lot better, okay? Now. Okay. And the lady said, amen, boy, preach it. Now. So, repentance works this way. You're walking in a direction contrary to God, and God does a very loving but politically incorrect thing to you. He confronts you. When we took the concept to digital cocaine to the graphic designer, Beth concepted it after helping with the manuscript and a lot of other people, but she concepted that. I took it to the graphic designer, the idea, and he looked at it and he went, that's confronting. You know what that means, don't you? Don't make me feel guilty because I'm guilty. Anyway, so repentance, God shows up, he confronts you, and he says, in this area of your life, whatever it might be, he's at that moment that he's dealing, whatever layer of the onion he's peeling, he says, stop, put this down, and turn around. And that's what repent means. It means to turn around. And then he says, don't pick it up. Turn your back on it. Now think differently about that. Think correctly about that. And then walk toward me. Now, where's God? God is over here, not with a hammer ready to hit you. He's standing over here with a, I'll give you a nerdy illustration, a big red reset button called grace. And he's saying, tap that, fall into my arms, and then I will treat you as though you never did that, and all of that was made possible by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The problem is we avoid that like the plague. We want to bring these things into God's presence and justify them. Justification is another hallmark of addiction. And God is saying, no, turn from it. Turn your back on it. Leave it. Put it down and then come to me. Separate yourself from it. So here are some things that we'll elaborate on tonight. And this is what I close with. Solutions. I want to talk to you about, everybody says to me, oh yeah, it's all about balance. It's all about finding the balance. I'm like, well, why don't you define balance? 50-50. If you were on Jeopardy, I would have to dismiss you now. Now, you should get in my head sometime when I'm around academics and I'm acting smart like smarty pants, but the stuff I think, and I giggle sometimes. Anyway, myself, yes, I do. Now, because I think of the stuff I want to say, but it would be totally inappropriate. There's your PC word. Now, solutions about balance. I'm just going to give you a sneak peek with these solutions. You have to think of balance in terms of the scale, but it's not 50-50. We're weighted right now 85 digital to 15, and then it has to be broken down by age as to what balance is for you. But generally speaking, it has to be the opposite in a 24-hour period. So we've got to start to put analog, remember that word? Non-digital, back into the mix. I didn't say throw all technology away. I'm using it today, but there's method to my madness, teachers. Any, who, educators here? Whiteboards, you know what I'm doing? I've had your eyes on me. Sorry, it's all I got to work with. I've had you on me 80% of the time because I'm analog and only on the screen 20. Method to the madness. When I do PDs, that's what we talk about. Now, solutions. These are some suggestions. We'll elaborate tonight. Get all the technology out of the bedroom. Parents included. If you're digitally addicted, take the smartphone, get rid of it, and get a flip phone. How badly do you want to get well? How badly do you want to get well? How close to God do you want to get? I honestly have detoxed, but I have the Holy Spirit in my wife. Sometimes I think they're the same thing. But she will tell you, we have no technology. There's nothing. At night, we sleep. And I'm going to talk about the science of sleep tonight. If I were you, I would never play another video game ever, and I would never allow them into your home, ever. But I would play games, board games and card games. Think of it this way. You can play chess on a screen, and because of the artificial environment, there's nothing sinful about that game, but the wall will go up. Does that make sense? But if you play chess at a table with another human being, you'll get smarter, and the wall will never go up. Replace all electronic babysitters with humans. Let me say that one again. Replace all electronic babysitters with humans. I had to pull a tooth there. I know, and I'm not mad at you. You know I'm telling you the truth because I love you. The Bible says tell the truth in love. And I care about your children. I don't know them. But I'm called to this generation. I love these kids. So I'm going to finish this way. This is why I do what I do. If I'm hearing Jesus, and I believe I am, in writing, researching, traveling, all this sort of stuff that keeps me in perpetual jet lag sometimes, and all this stuff, it's because of this. This, brothers and sisters, is why I do what I do. This is a picture of deep, abiding intimacy. They know the culture deeply. Their hearts have been fully given. They are available all the time. They are available at a moment's notice. In the middle of the night, when they wake up, they check in. Their hearts have been fully given. And this is what Jesus is saying to the church. I wish my people felt that way about me. I wish people would stare at my face all the time. In Thessalonians, we call it pray without ceasing. I wish my people would respond to me instantly when my spirit sends a notification through, and they would scroll through my word until they figured out what it is I'm trying to bless them with. I wish my people would take me everywhere unashamedly. I wish my people knew me like that. Now, I hope you feel his love. He's not mad at you. He misses us. Some of you, and I want you, I'm speaking prophetically to you. Some of you have had long-standing, unanswered prayers. And it's not because he hasn't heard you, and it's not because he hasn't tried, but he simply hasn't had your attention for any length of time to give you the answer. But that should excite you, because if the repentance takes place, the voice of God that you once knew will be rekindled. Chapter in a new book I'm writing called Digital Rehab, I think I'm going to call it Tozer Moments. Who knows who A.W. Tozer is? C.S. Lewis. Some of these old guys. For those of you a little bit older, and do you remember those moments when you get up in the morning and you're reading your Bible, you're reading Tozer, some of these deep things, and you find yourself looking at this. Some mornings are better than others. I mean, some mornings your brain's already at work, but some mornings you feel this presence and you start saying things like, oh, Jesus, I bless you. I bless you, Jesus. And you're reading Tozer, you're reading the Word, you're reading, and you're sitting there, and you think, Jesus, 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 Jesus. This is exactly, oh, I can't praise you enough. This is exactly where I am. Thank you. And it's as though Jesus has shown up with his cup of coffee and just put his arms around you. And you look at your watch, and you're going, oh, Jesus, I don't want to leave this moment. I love you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we have two simultaneous generations. The ones I showed you in that clip with the 13-year-old and his millennial mom, who have absolutely no frame of reference or concept of what I just described to you. And they're under our care in our churches and in our Christian schools. Am I making sense to you? Would you stand with me, please? Close your eyes. Maybe we could dim the lights. I want to make it as easy as possible for people to respond, and honey, you come. Beth is going to sing. Let me start that again in just a moment. I want to set this up. Just keep your eyes closed. Sorry, darling. I'll make this work in a moment. Listen, what I'm going to ask you to do, I don't like to arm twist. I'm not trying to get numbers, so I'm just going to get all the numbers. I'm just going to ask you, as Beth sings this song, it's a song of invitation. Just come to the front in a few moments as she starts to sing and start to seek the Lord. If something in this message has touched you, or maybe you're thinking about your friends, your neighbors, your grandkids, your own kids, yourself, doesn't matter. I want to give you an opportunity to humble yourself. The Bible says if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us and lift us up. If we retain our pride, we'll get chopped down. And the reason for the altar call and the reason and the purpose of it is just to give you an opportunity in your own way to step out of your seat. And I'm not going to ask you to confess your sins publicly. I mean, you can do that if you choose, but I'm not going to ask you to do it. I just want to give you an opportunity to humble yourself with whatever has touched you with this message in technology or whatever, and just step out saying, God, I come to you. I make the extra effort of coming to the altar. And symbolically, that's where sins are forgiven. Symbolically, that's where we reconnect with God. And so I'm just going to ask you to come with whatever level you may or may not be addicted and seek the Lord this morning in closing. And let me just pray over you in closing. So if you would, just start to make your way as Beth sings. Would you do that? Thank you. Yeah, just come and press in close. Make plenty of room.
Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as just as you are.
Thank you, guys. Keep pressing in.
And hear the Spirit call.
If you're grandparents helping to raise the grandkids, please come.
Come just as you are.
Is in desperate need of revival, and judgment begins in the house of God. Let's do business with Him today. Respond to Him and come. Father, bless your church. Bless my family here today with wisdom.
Come and see.
With anointing.
Come receive.
Just
as you are.
Tear the wall down and take numbness away, Jesus, and restore the feeling. Let the unction that breaks the yoke. Let the anointing come. And in an instant, replace feeling towards you again, Jesus. Family members toward family members, in Jesus' name. Father, put your hand on those addicted to porn, video games, social media, and let them feel your love in this moment, Jesus. Let them feel conviction, not condemnation, Father. Lord, I'm asking in this moment that this presence will be so real that it'll surpass any feeling we could ever hope to have digitally. Make this, your presence, more appealing than anything on this planet because it's Jesus. Lord, I can't do this bit, but I'm asking you to touch your people. They've responded. They've come with whatever it is. Love on them, Lord. Put your arms around them. Tear down walls in brains, Lord God, where numbness has set in. Father, bless these precious grandparents. If you'd kindly put your hands down, unless you're a grandparent. Father, bless these grandparents who have a say in the lives of their grandkids and the added pressures of having to help out. Father, give them wisdom. They don't always understand the digital age and what's going on, but Father, that they don't need to be an expert at this. They need your anointing, so would you give it to them right now? They'll know what to say. God will give you the words to say it and how to say it and when to say it and when not to say it. But Father, it's stressful on these grandparents, and I'm asking you to bless them with your a manifestation of your presence. you put your hands down and keep praying, saints, especially. If you're here today and you've never acknowledged repentance for the first time, in other words, you've never, for the very first time, said, you know what, I need Jesus in my heart. I need my sins to be forgiven. Maybe you grew up in church, maybe you didn't. Maybe you've been around this thing all your life, but you've never, for that very first time, just acknowledged, you know what, I need to get saved. If you're here this morning and you're feeling that pull deep inside of you, the Bible says, unless the Spirit of the Lord draw you, you can't even be saved. If you're feeling that drawing deep in your spirit today and you're saying, you know what the truth is? I have never for the first time asked Jesus to come in. I've never repented for the first time, but there's something real in this room. Why don't you raise your hand? Let me pray with you before we go. Raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. You've never done this before. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Whether you're up here or not, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Raise your hand really high. Four people. Anybody else? Now, let's talk about being backslidden. I'm not talking about Christians who struggle with sin. What I'm talking about are Christians who have stopped struggling and you've given in to the sin and now your conscience is hard. We call that being backslidden. And you're on dangerous ground spiritually and you need to rededicate. You once knew this presence, but you have really gone deeply into things you shouldn't and you need to rededicate your entire walk to Him. Would you raise your hand and let me pray? If you feel in that conviction. Thank you. Just put your hands up. Say, yes, I've got some things I have got to get right. I'm on dangerous ground. Bless you. Thank you. Let's all raise our hands. We're going to pray this prayer together to stand in with those who have raised their hand. And then I'm going to give instruction to those who raised your hands for the first time and then those for rededication. Let's all say this to Jesus. You ready? Dear Jesus, I have sinned and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Change my life. I believe that you died on a cross and you rose again for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I confess that Jesus is Lord. Now let's give him a big hand clap of praise this morning. Bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Lastly, for those of you that raised your hands, you have a wonderful team here, and I will tell you, Pastor Alex, if I lived in this area, I would come here. Amen. And if I had any problems and sins, I can tell you after having dinner with him last night, it would be very uncomfortable because I'm a sinner, but I would go to that man because I know I could trust him and he wouldn't tell all my dirt. So for those of you that raised your hands, you need to talk to him before you leave today and just go up and say, hey, I raised my hand. That's all you got to say. And just let him know who you are so he can love you and be your shepherd and your pastor, okay? He's a good man. Pastor Alex, thank you so much for having us. We love you guys. We appreciate you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.